he thinks that in the end, well, it won't be, it may not work just as hard for this or that or the other one. But in the end, Cove, the rest, the unions end up that way. But we go after members. Well, I'll tell you, I think a lot of union members would like to get the hell out of here.
That's what I want.
$10 a month.
That's what I want.
$10 a month, John.
I thought maybe Marty Anderson's coming in today.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe I'd turn him loose on this.
Well,
that's what I'm going to proposition him on. And I thought maybe I could turn him loose. Well, that's great, because I don't know what he's going to say.
I'm talking greater. I don't want him to burst. I want him to get sparked to burst. I intend to apply.
All right.
Let me tell you something else. Why not appoint him to be beaten?
Well,
what's wrong with that?
I don't know. That's the other
one. It isn't like Carswell. It doesn't civil rights. It doesn't involve blacks. It doesn't involve violence. They say, well, the man is anti-labor. So, well, isn't that the way to draw the union line? He's a lawyer, business guys, and the rest, and say, well, we've tried to appoint somebody and get rolled.
You can make him out to be an expert, but yeah, he is an expert.
I know he's like a long field.
Yeah.
Don't you feel this way about unions?
Yes, I do. Very much.
I really do.
I'm one of those guys that had to join one, you know, to get a job all the time. I had to join the teachers, and it just scraped the hell out of me. And I just had to pay tribute. And I think there are a lot of people who are union members who feel that way, that they've had to join, that they get nothing for it. And, you know, that the crease gets scrimmed. All right, I'll check with McGregor. Marty Anderson, if you agree, I'll put him on a project of trying to develop issues that will split the leadership and the Marankin club.
Yeah.
Good. And let's see what we can come up with.
Fine.
I don't hear very much. Did you get Ogilvy all right last night?
Sure.
I'm sorry to press you on that, but we wanted to move very fast on the jabbing.
Fine.
Good. That's great.
And also, I said that I wanted him to come into Washington with him.
Oh.
And appear at the press conference. To say a word for him. He said he'd be delighted. Come in, George. How are you? I'll see you in a few days.
I would like to announce that Jaffe's coming to the federal government without announcing what he's going to do or what our organization is going to be.
Would you put that picture on this little girl? I don't want to worry about the last thing today. Does he have a problem? Suppose he has invited another day. Just say I'll do it. I'd like to do it at 5:30.
Just get the word out that Jaffe's coming with the federal government so that he has an excuse.
Oh, Jaffe agreed to come?
Oh, yes. Yes, he's already agreed to come, but he hadn't told the governor.
Yeah, well, all right, fine.
Yeah, we hired him last Thursday.
Oh, great, fine.
Yeah, so
right,
he's announced it. And we just announced he's coming with the federal government.
For a talk, I would say that he's agreed to join the federal government at the top. You call the White House,
Jaffe? No, for now, I just say...
The
leading federal role or something of that kind.
Leading federal role, which should be announced at a later time. This has the approval of the support of Governor Olson Ogilvy. Very
good. Okay.
They'll keep the story running out that way. I hope he's a good man, John.
I hope so, too.
We're not expecting a lot.
Well, he's in town now. I may want to run him in tomorrow, if that's all right, just for you to get acquainted a little bit with him. I think he's our best guy.
I know we're in the right track here, because I see some of the left-wing columns, you know, picking on the thing of marijuana, and just the lights, different to the hell out of it, because they don't know what it's about.
It's interesting, Time Magazine missed it a mile this morning on what we're going to do. And, in terms of bringing the government together at a point with your personal control and so on, it hasn't
always been said so.
Well, we haven't given them the final word on this at all. We've said that there's going to be this new activity and so on, but we haven't said what it's going to be. And I want to get that out with a punch, that you're taking command of this thing, that you've appointed Jaffe, that he's going to run the government operation. It's going to cut across civilian as well as military. And lay it all
out. Particularly the HEW.
I'm meeting with I've got Elliot and his assistant secretaries for a meeting this noon.
Fine.
And I talked to Mayor.
They are simply going to do what they're told.
Exactly.
I am not interested anymore in their doing what they think as well, because they don't know a goddamn thing.
Elliot's the board. He's
Elliot would be. Yep. He's the people down the line. Elliot knows the problem. He's the people down the line.
I think you'll find that we're getting pretty good results this way. Keeping him in Vietnam.
just play by downplay it, just so that we don't get a very important, but basically an issue that would be used by the people that are for heroin,
yeah,
as they are,
yeah,
to destroy the whole program, you know what I mean? They're never getting one eye to shoot.
Folks. This program has got to be couched about with PR like we've never had it before.
Yeah,
and this is one very important part of it that we are working on. And I'd just like to have you keep an open mind on it until we get into it further. Because there seems to be good reason for most of these things that we're going to be doing.
Good. Okay.
The only other thing I have is the timing of the housing integration statement.
Put out the same day as the dope
statement. If we go out Saturday of this week, it will go out with the wedding news.
That's good.
And it'll play in Sunday papers.
Good.
And if that's all right with you, we'll need some clearance from you on the statement itself.
You want me to read it?
Right.
Well,
okay.
That's a good time. I forgot it was the wedding. It was that's good. It's a good day.
I have it.
All those books. Well, George, what are you deciding today about? You got after being assigned to rescue, you got your making the country reestablished a little. It's always good to go out and see a little clean, few clean folks, isn't it?
It is, and they're very impressive people. And they really work at this job. They are, I would say, rather depressed. That is, they somehow don't feel things are going their way, and they're worried and they're uptight about the SA-5 problems, which they have a very special view of, I gather. But I'm always fearful when I see something like that.
I really didn't see any civilians.
Sir?
You didn't see any civilians in your trip?
Civilians?
No, I didn't see. It's all military.
It was all right on that base.
I don't get a chance to get the feel of the country.
Well, I went out from there and took in my daughter's graduation from the University of Denver.
Oh, I knew you were from Colorado.
Wandered around.
Well, that's a little bit.
First time I've gone to a big event where I haven't been
heckled.
There hasn't been, no, there hasn't been a special seat or something. We sort of wandered in like everybody else.
I know there's
a lot of things in Denver.
Oh, the energy, of course, yeah.
The energy message was a tremendous story out there.
Yeah.
Particularly with the oil shale drilling
and
so on.
Very,
very big. I testified this morning for the second time for the House Hollifield's Committee on Reorganization.
Yeah.
And he's been becoming increasingly friendly as these hearings have gone on, of course, before, beginning with your discussion with him in the airplane.
Yeah.
And I think we can feel a lot better about that originally in terms of his attitude, not that he is saying that he's supporting it, but he's talking about the tactics of getting it down. Senate side, that and last week's hearing went well. They got good support from people outside the administration, the Johnson administration, who have been kind of a particular issue. The same thing happened in the Senate the week before, and then that's being picked up again on the 21st. And John Connolly, who was out of the country when they wanted to start the hearings, will come in and give it a good kick in the Senate.
What do you think happened on Mills?
I watched him on television yesterday, and he certainly is unequivocal. Although he does leave these openings in his statements.
So what do you think?
Barbara Connable, Thursday night I saw Barbara Connable, and he was telling me about the hearings. And he said that he had made a very strong and somewhat emotional counterattack. Barbara did, in support of revenue sharing. And after he was leaving the hearings, he ran into Larry Woodruff, who's Bill's technical man on the
office. Oh, yeah.
And Woodruff said, took him aside, he said, don't get too worked up about this, Barbara. Before long, you're going to get most of what you want. So Barbara reported that to him. This is sort of the...
What it is, of course, is a lot of bargaining and a lot of other things going on. The other thing is that basically is that from a political standpoint, our only interest really is getting it done. Unless they see it related directly to their pocketbook.
You want to look at this poll?
I looked at it.
Extraordinary.
Really very interesting point. It shows that that's the part I read particularly. And if you read it very carefully, first it shows a relatively low understanding of revenue sharing. The other point is that it shows that as far as this argument we're making as to whether or not you want federal control or state control, if you break it down only in the South, does the argument go to they want the federal government to have the strings in every region of the country except the South? In other words, your national figure, therefore, gives you a distorted view of how we all comfort ourselves in the national. It's the Southern thing, and actually they're voting their civil rights and they don't want the big brother to tell them what to do. So on that end, we're on the right way to get it, but it's not any good politically on that particular issue. Regarding revenue sharing generally, everybody wants the cities about any of when you really ask them what they want, they want the federal government to spend more, and they want the cities and the states to spend less.
And then they think about cutback of services as a second choice.
And they're willing,
yeah.
Curiously enough,
yeah.
Willing. So the argument on revenue sharing, which is the weakest from our standpoint, is to present it. Let's rescue the city and help them so that they won't have to cut back services. Okay. Argument in revenue sharing can be so with something held out in terms of, well, maybe you can get your taxes down, your property taxes down, it might be worth something politically. I'm not suggesting that I'm not suggesting cutbacks in services. I personally think it probably should be. But I am only saying that from a political standpoint, running around and being for revenue sharing on the things that we have bought. One, we want to rescue the cities, be sure they have enough money for their services. That is not politically popular. And two, that we want to provide more say-so for local and state government. That is unpopular thing, except in the South. Not have issues that are good. Three, however, it is the right thing to do, and it is useful to get something through. So that's where you're able to get down.
And there's a very high penetration of public awareness of revenue sharing.
Well, they know about
79%, as distinguished from reorganization, where they're doing 23 or 24%
in the revenue sharing. They know about it.
Yeah.
But would you agree with my analysis of the other point?
I'm not sure about the one about local control. I would check that again.
Regional breakdown. See, I saw that figure in the first part, and I read the regional breakdown, and I said, right, there's something about this. I want to see what the South did. The South was about 3-1.
No, that's interesting. I agree.
3-1. And then the North, and every other area of the country, the North, the Midwest, the Far West, they did not want regional control. They wanted national control. In other words, don't trust their state governments or their city governments.
Well, that's the problem.
But the right thing to do is to make them trust them. But it was that figure that I found extremely interesting, because I rather respected the South. I knew the South could be higher because of the black situation. I think, well, we'll come in and integrate them. Well, we're all in our work integrated now. That's a big number, John, I'm going to take a look at, because our people should always make that argument, because the fact that 35 to 40%, even in the North, Midwest, and Far West are for it, let's talk to that 40%. Don't make it very loudly, because it is not one that is a popular argument in and of itself. Except in the South. In the South, you know, like hell about it.
I'll have to track out
what I'm talking about to do.
Tomorrow.
It started back.
Tomorrow we will not refer to this poll in the domestic council meeting. But I will show some poll results from other polls to show some trends that are very interesting as to what issues are fading and what issues are
good
coming into the more prominence.
Well, you could show it from this without telling them what it is.
Well, if you don't mind.
Oh, no.
All right.
I would say if this was a poll that was picking, I'd say some industrial concerns have taken a poll. They piggyback some questions, and here they are.
All right.
You know, and say, here are some interesting things. And give them anything.
Well, I'm just going to show them some charts showing polls.
Charts
of the issue trends.
John, don't worry about my charts. I'm telling what it is.
Okay.
So fine. We are
fine. All right.
And always use the gag to piggyback.
Good. All right. Well,
it's extremely
it helps.
It's extremely interesting. It shows what small numbers you get out of things. Health.
Yeah.
Education. I mean, unless you get them.
Education is a new issue. It's just coming up on the chart, actually. And some old issues are going on.
Have you read this yet, John?
I'll get a
fascinating thing. Should be read very interesting. Keep it all to yourself. It's a fascinating analysis of the feelings of the American people.
Very good.
Well, it's aware things are moving.
Yeah. The thing I thought I'd do tomorrow with this domestic council meeting was simply to indicate to them the purpose of the meeting was to air some work. We draw on really working on three levels, goals, or four levels actually. Goals, objectives, policies, and programs.
Eight.
Right.
Eight. Did you go to breakfast?
No.
Oh, it's nice.
A cup of coffee. That
why don't you have this domestic council meeting and have a why don't you try to the extent you can, you should make it rather broad in terms of the other secretaries and others that are coming.
All right.
I'm going to do something in that respect for the whole cabinet, which would be good. We've been trying to think of what to do with Blunt. You know, we've got to give a party. Everybody said, well, let's have a party with Blunt in the cabinet. Well, hell, the cabinet's had several parties. So I decided to go up to make it a party of a real deal, I would say around 120 people, and have the cabinet and the sub-cabinet and the top agency heads, you know, and their wives. In other words, the whole, you know, field. But there's a lot of those sub-cabinet undersecretary types and so forth there to see. In addition to that, we pull out of the White House, and of course out of your office, we pull the top people. So we pull the top, probably a top half a dozen, 8 to 10 people out of the White House, George. So the people you know, that work their butts off like Weinbergers. So it'd be a nice party.
Sure,
it's a good therapy, but you could, at this meeting tomorrow, since it's primarily for information and not decision, I got to build a little.
Well, I tell you what I have done. I've told them that the principals had to come, since this is going to be an exchange on policy.
Oh, and you don't want to.
Well, and so we discouraged undersecretaries for that reason, in order to encourage the cabinet officer to come. Now we've got
to... The way to call the principals ought to come to tell them, I'm going to be there.
I have, and...
President Clifford's I would like to have the principals there, but then say they would like each of you can bring one person.
Okay, that's fine.
Each of you can bring one person, and that's not good. Guess what we're going to do. And then you should shape it up with your domestic
council. Okay. And I hope to get a lot of freewheeling discussion out of this. It's not going to be a lot of slides and stuff. It's just going to be a little bit to provoke them.
You don't think they'll all, I mean, there's a lot of people they don't want to talk freely with.
I don't think that's a problem if they each choose one man to bring. And the only other people we'll have in there will be domestic council staff and the White House.
I'll just talk about here the people that are here.
And they've all done homework on this.
Good.
They've all sent us their proposal.
You have 2 hours?
Oh, yes. Oh, my, yes. I don't resent
the meeting yet. I was supposed to be in the home building for 20 minutes, but 15.
Well, this is the kind of thing, I don't know if you know what John Connolly's doing, but he has directed his people to spend a half an hour every day thinking. To leave a half an hour unstructured in their schedules every day, and once a week,
think about
he wants an unconventional suggestion, a creative suggestion on paper from each one of his top people.
Good.
And I thought without mentioning his name that I would tag the meeting at the end, or you might want to do that, with the idea that We've now drawn on all kinds of conventional sources here.
Sure.
Polls, departments, bureaucracies.
Give me two sentences, and I'll say it.
All right.
And I'll mention companies there.
Why not?
This is an idea to be developed. I think it's a hell of a good idea. I'd like for all of you to do it. It's good. Also, it gives them a feeling that they're contributing something. And sometimes you get one very good idea.
Sure.
Be worth the darn.
And we're structured here to accept unconventional ideas.
It's like the home builders, George, I just saw that come in town. For them to come in, well, they can talk about them. They're all friends of ours and great and so forth and so on. But they end up with being George around the city and the rest of it with the usual thing of the pictures. Is there anything that might show you can lead to any, because we know this is a hard problem and so forth and so on. We can do anything about labor management legislation. So I told him that stuff, let me be honest with you. I said I could stand up here and talk about it for the balance of in the next year and a half, and it would drop without a trace. I said both labor committees are disaster areas. The leaders, both Democratic leaders in both House and Senate, will never overrule those committees, so they can't ever get a vote on it. I said, if you change the Congress, we'll have a chance. And there should be some change. They're going to get enough. But you know, the business community generally, they all fall back on that. And frankly, I must say, when George goes out and makes that rip-roaring speech, we need labor legislation. That encourages more Hispanics than the rest of them. Goddamn, of course we need labor legislation. How are you going to get it? How are you going to get it with this Congress? Not one chance.
The only way you get it is like we got postal reform, with a crisis and a disaster of some kind. Then out of the ashes comes the
state. Well, three railroads. But I think the thing to do, though, is to tell them the truth. Quit fooling around and saying, yes, we're for it. We think it's a problem. Why don't you mean that these guys don't want to help? You don't have no chance. No use to kill yourselves. George, what are your advice? I asked you a few times, and maybe this isn't the time to discuss it because it wouldn't be much time. But since you settled with notes on the various economic things that have been coming in, Stein, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I wonder what you and Laffer, the Laffer Schultz anxious things, how many have heard of Stein, McCracken, Burns anxious? Do we have any? Are things as bad as you said that Stein hung crape all over the place yesterday in the staff meeting?
Oh, that was last week. Well,
no.
Yep.
Well, Friday.
Right.
Last week,
yeah.
That's it.
Right. Well, I think that we have a pretty good expansion going on, as I've said.
You don't think this is the time to throw in the towel and start to don't know how a lot of other things. Connolly has it, as I understand, you have your talk with him.
Connolly feels there is no good short run choice beyond what we're doing.
Right.
He doesn't see any acceptable short run. I think he is actively considering controls as an alternative, judging by the way he talked on Friday.
Which impression?
Right.
But he doesn't know how.
He doesn't know how. He doesn't know really whether it's a good idea or not. But
when he looks into it, and you'll find out.
He has an open mind, literally an open mind on that subject.
He thinks that'll help the economy.
I wouldn't put that word in his mouth. I'm not sure.
I think because he announced controls this economy, take the goddamn mistake he ever saw there.
Well, you could see from the Quadrant meeting that Arthur was pushing very strong in this direction.
Oh,
and in fact, his proposal.
He's still trying to prove that he was right, that's all. He will after, if the economy goes over 1065, Arthur, so he should have controls. I know. But that's the way we all are.
His proposal in steel is interesting because he sort of explicitly wants to propose something that'll fail. So you can therefore say, since this incomes or this wage price board couldn't control a steel settlement, and can, nothing can control a settlement. we better have controls. I see that one of the members of the Federal Reserve Board came out in favor of controls publicly. Yeah. You know, I saw that in the papers yesterday.
Publicly for what?
For the wage price controls. One of the members.
Are we going to get more and more than our meeting?
Well, I suppose so, although the consumer's price index performance has been so dramatically better than last year.
Months,
you would think that would...
Next month in May, who knows?
But, gee whiz, 4 months is,
pretty good.
Something pretty good.
Something, we must have done something right to do that.
The wholesale prices are a problem, and I think, as I've said to you, I think frequently over the last month or so, it seems likely to me that the problem will not be expansion and unemployment and so forth by next year. The problem will be much more likely inflation. To that extent, I agree with Arthur, but I think that it really requires hanging in with our basic policies, not letting the deficit get further out of control. It's in bad shape now.
I know it's in
trouble. Of course, the monetary picture, I think, is crazy.
You mean internationally?
No, domestically.
Yeah, like this.
Well, we've had very high rates of growth since January.
Yeah.
But it's been a dramatic zigzag, erratic pattern. And Arthur just doesn't seem to think that he can get it into a consistent pattern. All my people that I talk to think that it certainly can be done a lot better than it is now.
Yeah, let me ask this. Is it conceivable, maybe, that he's not a manager?
Arthur?
See, Mark, with all of his majors, could run the damn thing. I'm not sure Arthur can. Arthur?
He runs the board.
Huh?
He ran the board.
Yeah.
Friedman's point is...
Gosh, I'm not sure if
you
know that.
You asked me in one of your notes to check with him, and I've been chasing him around, and I did talk with him.
How's he?
Well, he feels that the expansion's going forward very strongly, that we shouldn't worry too much about the durable goods orders and the plant equipment. That was the specific
yes.
Order that you have. But that was more a question, his view, of the composition of the expansion rather than the total thrust of the expansion. I'm not so sure I grabbed that completely, but anyway, that's his view. He feels that inflation is likely to be a problem given the performance of the Fed, which he thinks is the bad actor in the piece, and that they just have this extreme swing in monetary policy that's bad. He also has a lot of thoughts on the international side, which he thinks you handled extremely well, and is keeping quiet and forcing the other countries to go ahead and float is the right way to do it.
Let me ask this. One thing that comes out on this poll is the matter of covenants. Consumer covenants in terms of their future plans. And basically, on that point, that's a very negative, right, John?
Right.
In other words, this is our consumer covenants. You know, understand, not the University of Michigan's and not the Dodd Survey or something and so forth. Now, it happens that our poll was taken, unfortunately, during the period when you had the international monetary system. And of course, Jesus Christ, the media made that look as if the dollar was going to hell and all that sort of thing. And also, our business community is acting like a bunch of children. And I must say, I'm coming to see this. But I always... on the confidence factor, George, I've always said, I just know you can get out. Conley can talk confidence, you can talk confidence, and everybody else, but it'll be a mixed bet chorus in any event. It'll be a mixed chorus, and somewhere or sometime, I guess the confidence turns around. But what's your feeling of the confidence factor?
I've never been very big for that.
We ask the question always.
But Arthur's been going around saying that the big problem is confidence.
Has been saying it's very
confident. And spending, which is what we're talking about, consumer spending, let's put it in the operational terms, that's the factor.
That's what it shows.
That is beginning to come. I would have to say that late April, early May didn't seem to be so strong on the sales side, and so we had...
What's happened in the last 2 weeks of May, the first week?
It just seems to have picked up some, and then we noticed the...
Do they pick up some? What
the chains? The chains.
Chains.
Sears, Ward's, Penny's, and so forth, report issued, I guess in this morning's paper, shows a very substantial gain. Sears, I think, year over year was about 7.5% gain, which is big, and they were all like that or more. And the auto picture has picked up again. But the, I think we should, when we have this meeting...
So how people feel about confidence, of course, depends to such an extent upon what they've seen that night on television, too. That's the thing that things are done, John, you know, the guy walks on the field. How do you feel about confidence? So that night, Easter, somebody like your NBC cried about the international monetary situation, very serious, the dollar, the stock market made it down 300 points. Good God, I'd sit here in that meeting we had here, where that Paul Holder was sitting here and saying, the market would go down 300 points. You heard what he said.
Yes, I wrote it down.
300 points? I looked at him in the heart, there was a, no, I'm sorry, Mr. Pearlson. Jesus Christ.
I read up the Senator Steve Bull. I don't know what you said to Steve, but about 3 or 4 minutes later, he came in with a little piece of paper and handed it to you, handed it to Paul, handed it to me.
The market?
That the market had gone up.
Well, on the market, the international monetary is one of the best things Steinmeier did. And Steinmeier, I consider to be a very solid guy, but he's trying to prove his figures are right, too. He's worried about things, and he wonders what's
going on. He took an awful burning last summer here. Remember, Paul was away. I remember how clearly here we had a meeting, and he was the absolute optimist. Things were really rolling. And
yeah.
He said that publicly.
Yeah.
And then he...
Well, it wasn't his fault.
He just got...
No, the steel strikes together.
The auto strike.
And the auto strike, he's just got to realize that.
Sure.
And the other thing is that you can't lose your guts. But on the other hand, there's on the retail sales, particularly the big durables, that's the thing I don't want you. Well, that's not bad. You know, if you notice, John, the figure I marked one time, I guess when I say I marked, you all see it. But housing isn't bad if the goddamn interest rates don't go up. But that's the thing, all the builders, the only thing useful to say that. But there's housing. But more than that, what goes into houses? I mean, refrigerators, etc., automobiles, all strong, right?
Yeah, heavy things. Yep.
Yeah. How your question was phrased in here, I don't know, but it seems to me the way to phrase the question to the consumer is not in terms of a word on confidence, but in terms of do you plan to buy an automobile in the next 2 months?
That's not in there. This is, are you better off or worse off? Will you be better off or worse off?
That's been the answer. Are you better or do you think you're going to be better off or worse off this next year? So it really has to get down to the factors, how they feel about employment, how they feel about wages, and how they feel about prices and inflation. And on that, they aren't too damn confident. On the other hand, they may still buy.
They identify unemployment and inflation as two of the top five of the national problems.
But the hell is the bottom line here, no?
We are confident here in this credit, but I mentioned this a few months ago this morning, but
when I screw these things.
Milton Friedman is going to be in town tomorrow afternoon, and he has a different slant on things. A little different from mine, different from others. And I don't think it's before you to listen to him.
Sure, I always like to listen to him. I appreciate it.
Exhort you each other to a hierarchy.
Be
loyal and true.
Yeah, I'll put it down.
Now this is part of a campaign just to jolly up the top people of each of the departments.